whole receiver is built on a chassis with the big IF transformers. Transistors all have sockets. I mean, this was the perfect kit, except for the wafer switches. They would have got a little complicated for a novice, but do you ever remember them offering a high-end stereo kit?
No, I do not. No, I don't remember that. I probably wasn't observant enough. I know some of the last products that Heathkit made were back in the 80s, the early 80s. It was the H8 computer, if you remember that. It was an 8080-based machine, and it recorded its programs as usual, saved them on cassette tape. The H8, I remember that. That was one of the last kits they made, and naturally it was, by that time, they were pretty well moving over to computer stuff. The last most complicated kit that I remember that they made was a television set, a color TV. That was quite an involved kit, and I never saw one, but I remember seeing the schematics and the pictures and whatnot, and talking to some people who owned them, and said it worked quite well. It was a good color receiver, and it was sort of, you know, somewhat based on the RCA 630 series of color TVs, which most sets were at that time. So, back to you, Mike.
WA2SHA,
net control.
WA2SHA, K2Q, and it's a young, well, when I started in the business, I worked for a TV repair shop, and I had to repair one of those Heathkit televisions. You know, it was beyond my wildest dreams that I would ever see one, but now I had to fix it. And the poor guy, I mean, he was going wild with himself. We couldn't get the color picture up on it. By the way, the 630 chassis are black and white. It was never a colored television. I think you forgot that. That was an RCA black and white set. Anyway, it turns out that this guy went over the build, and there's a lot of stuff in that television. 3-4 times he couldn't get it to work. What I discovered was it had a bad picture tube. The shadow mask was bent. That's why you could never get the thing to converge. Finally, we convinced Heathkit to send us a new picture tube, and that there was the trouble. But yeah, I actually worked on one. I never built it, but I did repair one.
Okay, Mike, yeah, the 630, you're right. I was wrong. Thinking too fast here. 630 was a black and white set, and I repaired a great number of them. Maybe that's why it stuck in my mind. They were 10-inch and 12-inch black and white. The old 10BP 4 tube, I remember them. And they had about 33 tubes in them, those sets. They were really full house and heavy, too. Remember that big power transformer and those things. Well, I forgot the designation for the RCA, the standard color set, which they started to produce in the 60s and wound up probably into the 70s with. I don't remember, but there was a popular circuit that I remember by looks anyway. So, okay. Walter, you still with us? AE2AA to pick it up. WA2SHA, net control. I guess not. I guess Walter walked off for a while, so we'll just move on to the next one in my list. I have KC2CXS patiently waiting on the side. So why don't you pick it up? WA2SHA, net control.
I was away from the radio again for a moment. AE2AA.
Okay, go ahead, Walt. I didn't get a response from KC2CXX.
Mark said he was taking care of the kids there, so Mark was probably reading the mail right now, and Bob did sign out. Geez, you know, I really think there was one more thing I was supposed to respond to the mic. I don't know what it is. But yeah, 15th Street and Park Avenue South was one of the last stores to close, certainly in New York City. There was one at the 45th Street, which closed kind of early, if you know what I mean. Because I worked at East 37th Street, 9 East 37th Street. So lunchtime, I would go up to 45th Street
which happened to be sort of like the uptown electronic stores. You know what I mean? I think I remember that. You do probably too, Mike. Could be. Mike, whatever it was, oh, the notice, that's it. Here's what I do, Mike. I don't send out individual notices with your email address and call sign on, okay? I send out a bulletin, a separate bulletin, every month to take care of the dues. 95% of the people's dues are due in January of the year. If you remember, I moved yours ahead so that you got the benefit of the short end of the year, which yours did occur on. So you actually got a year and 3 or 4 months out of your last renewal. So, well, I send out with the people that are supposed to get notified about dues, I send it out as a BCC. If you have received this notice, it means that your dues are probably due. Okay, and that's a separate thing sent out. So that's what you should have been looking for. Anyway, I'm going to send out one that will go out within the next day saying the same thing. Except it'll say February or something like that, and your dues were due in January, or to that effect. It's a separate thing, not sent out with the newsletter. It may be sent out on the same day as the newsletter, but it's not sent out as part of the newsletter. It doesn't appear in the newsletter, although it says something about that also, which is in the newsletter. Anyway, that's it. If you would pick it up, Mike, I'll get your comments on that. I have lots of comments on it. Keith Kiss and Night Kiss and all that, but it's getting late. So, K2.
Good job, Walt. Mike is out.
No, I'm here. The machine timed out.
All right, Walt. You're very good. I just don't recall. I get the newsletters, but I didn't get that other notification, you know, the little bulletin I think you sent out. But as long as I know it's due in January, I don't need anything to remind me now. I'm going to send you the check. January, you're going to get the check. That simple. But no, I didn't get a separate notice to say, it's January, guys, pay the dues. That's all. But now that I know it's due, you will shortly come into a great sum of money, like the dues. Case of cutie and back to net control.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take it around now one more time and get some comments. And we have N3ZAN patiently waiting on the side in Pennsylvania. Come on in. WA2SHA, net control. Well, he must have probably signed off, but I didn't know that. So I guess we'll start again with Mark minding the kids. We'll go to the top and run through it once more. Starting with John, KB2, VVO. Still there, John? Come on back. Have any comments?
Hey, Norman. When my phone just rang, I just missed a call. It takes us time to agree with you. It's 9 o'clock. You've done an excellent job on the net. Thanks for taking over. You did a great job. Say good night to everybody else out there that's going to be saying this is going to be too over there.
Armin, can I just want to say something to John for a second? Right ahead. Okay, thank you. Hey, John, I haven't heard from you in ages, so to speak. Have you responded to Nico's email regarding a possible event? Or I haven't responded because I've been busy. Matter of fact, I just read the email. John, can you just give me a yes or no?
Uh, I wanted to discuss it with you and Armin first, but generally positive on that one. And I'll also have to discuss a couple of other things. I was up to Clifton last night, 10:17, and they're working on a couple of projects, and there's some you'll be interested in, and also like to pass along that they will also be having an echo link on 10:17.
Okay, you can give me a phone call tomorrow sometime. We can talk about it when it's convenient. Hey, Armin, I also have a quick question for you before you sign, and that's from Joyce. She, since we're a major part of the team, she's on the fence about whether the session to go ahead with it on Saturday. She has four candidates, and she has to let them know before Saturday. So let me know your feeling. I think your last feeling was depending upon what happens, right? I'll pick it up, Darwin.
Well, it's probably going to snow overnight, starting tomorrow evening. So it all depends on that. You know, I'm not going to go driving the ice and snow, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think we're in agreement on that. The question is, if it's 1 or 2 inches, are you going to drive or not? Okay, if it's 6 inches, no, of course not.
Say if the road has snow on it, I'm not going to drive.
Okay, I'll respond to that. Pick it up, Armin. Thank you for your response. And by the way, you've done a very, very, very good job as net control. AE2AA will be signing after everybody's finished.
I'm a lousy net operator. I'm a lousy, message handler, too, as people could attest to the field day. But I think I bring up some interesting conversation points, and that's what works pretty good. But I am a lousy operator, I admit that. Okay, Walter, we'll consider you signed and listening, and we'll go right ahead to back to Jim. KC2DHU there up in Glencoe. Jimmy, pick it up. WA2SHA, net control. Jimmy may have lost the link. Okay. Well, most of the people are gone. Didn't get any response from Pennsylvania. And we're down to Mike, K2QDN again. How about that? You have to admit, I'm a lousy net operator, but I got some interesting things to talk about. Huh, Mike? Over to you. WA2SHA, net control.
WA2SHA, K2QD. Well, you got a bunch of interesting things to talk about, but the three-minute timer doesn't cut it with me because I could get lengthy on every topic. And therefore... it's difficult. However, one thing I wanted to ask is, did you notice that John's audio is quite low compared to everybody else?
John's audio is always low compared to everybody else, and that's no exception. I think it's the way he speaks. That's what it is, and his distance from the mic, etc. Because he uses radios just like we're using, so... and he uses various radios, so you can't pin it down to anything else that John speaks very softly.
Because I put the volume up to listen to him, and then when somebody else comes on, I got to dump the volume right away because it's blasted. All right, I just wanted to know if I was imagining things. Okay, and let's see, what do we got here? Yes, the RCA and all of that. I got to ask you, Armin, you know what? Why don't you put the net to bed? And if you want to hang out for 2 or 3 minutes, I was going to ask you if you ever worked on a TV, if you're in Jersey City, I'm sure you did, was made by Dumont, called an R390. Not an R390. Dumont, what the hell was its number? Oh, it had that continuous tuner. And you could actually tune the ham bands.
but it was a huge set made by Dumont. Two rectifier tubes in it, RA-109. Maybe that was it, the Dumont RA-109. I mean, this was some television. Did you ever work on one of them?
He certainly did. It was in a saloon in Jersey City. Naturally, that was the time back in the 50s, the mid and early 50s, when only saloon guys could afford it, saloon owners, because the set was probably over $1,000. It was a... The picture tube size, don't take my word for it. It may have either been 19 round or a little bigger than that. But they had a very popular 19-inch round tube, which was masked off with the typical curved sides, you know. That set was two chassis, not one, but two chassis. It was the tuner and all the lower level circuits was on the upper deck, and the power supply, deflection, and all that was the lower deck. And it had this monstrous power transformer that stood about 5 or 6 inches high and had 2 5U4s sticking out of the top shell of the power transformer. This was a massive set. But it wasn't that hard to work on. I managed to fix the darn thing for him. But it's, you had a big job pulling out those chassis and setting them upright on the floor to work on them. They weighed a lot. This was a heck of a set, a lot of iron and a lot of material in it. It really was overbuilt. Back to you, Mike.
It was the power transformer with the 2 5U4s, and the fact that if you got a working one, the tuner was continuous tuned. There was no click, click, click the channels. And that thing could actually receive, if you were interested in FM, that thing would tune 2 meters, it tuned 6 meters. That was quite a tuner. Big, heavy. Oh, that transformer. By all the other TVs, that transformer was the king of the lot. And I don't think it was 3 or 4 inches. That thing was a lot bigger than that. That was one tall transformer. Yep, the RA-109. How come it is I can't remember what color socks I'm wearing, but I can remember model numbers from years back? I think we're getting old, Armin.
Probably good reason for it. But that said, yeah, the continuous tuner was a wonderful tuner because it certainly outlasted the click-type tuners, which always had contact problems, and the springs behind the fixed contacts would break, and there was very little you could do with them. I tried to doctor up a lot of those tuners, but it was almost impossible. There was nothing like that continuous tuner. That was the best tuner they ever made. And you're right about FM. But, you know, it was silly to see someone listening to FM out of the 12-inch speaker in that set with about 35 tubes all lit up with no use for the television picture, you know. But people did do this kind of thing, except that I remember that some of the sets had a switch that could actually turn off the CRT portion of the set so as to conserve some power. I believe there was a FM position. I don't know on the particular one that I fixed, but I've seen that kind of thing happen. And when you turn it to the FM position, the horizontal vertical deflection circuits, all of that would be turned off. And remember that those sets had a separate sound channel. They weren't intercarrier. So they were able to even shut off the picture IF and the picture detectors and sync separators and all the other stuff, too. So it wasn't so bad. You just kept about 200 watts of Phillips slit to heat the room up, that's all. Back to you, Mike, WA2SHA here.
But that was the old days. As a kid, you know, working in the TV store, you'd see these sets, and if I could find one that somebody, you know, shit-canned the television, that was my power supply. That thing was phenomenal. And working in the store, we had all the Sams. So you always had schematics for this stuff. And, the RA-109. Wow. Yeah, when it comes to fixing televisions, man, I mean, that's what we did. Televisions, record players, car radios, AM radios. AM radios with bed IF transformers. Very common. Them days are gone forever, man.
You know what I wish I could find? One of those, remember the little antenna sticks? I don't know what they used to call them. It was an antenna coil. It had windings, two lugs on a cardboard tube, and a slug that went down the middle on a threaded rod. Man, if I could find one of them today, I'd have a good time with it.
Well, I don't think I have any of that stuff anymore. The one I was thinking of, radios from 1920s on, especially in the TRF sets, that's a rarity, you know. But if you really needed an antenna coil like you're talking about, we could probably wind you up one on a small a pill bottle. You know, I have figured out a way to use these little pill containers, the ones that are about 3/4 of an inch in diameter, about 2 inches long. It's really nice because you can wind a coil on them, bring out the leads, and then screw the cap down on the chassis. And then all you have to do is press the coil down onto the cap and screw it in, and there it is. You got a beautiful chassis mount, and you can always take the coil off. But that would be pretty easy to do, Mike. So if you're really interested in one, I probably can whip one up for you that's tuned to the broadcast band. Back to you.
No, this has to be the original, man. There was a name for them, too. That they had a trade name. That's what I would look for. I've got one here, but it's in my first radio. And my first radio was a vacuum tube radio, believe it or not. What the hell did it have in it? A 22.5 volt plate battery and a volt and a half for the filament built on a piece of wood. Oh, man. I still got it. I might have showed it to you, but if you ever get over here again, I will. But anyway, that's it. All right. You put the net to sleep, if anybody's still there. And I'm actually going to go and eat supper now at 9:30. But listen, I had a lot of fun tonight. And we should talk more on Simplex, Armin. And that's the end of that. WA2SHA, K2QDM.
Okay, Mike, good, yeah. Well, it's nice you stopped in, you know. It's interesting as heck. And, you know, when you said that it was a tube radio that you built when you were young, first tube radio. Well, first radio was a tube radio, pardon me. With me, it couldn't be any other way, because my first radio was built around 1948, and the transistor was just about coming out of the laboratory. Dr. Schottky was working on a very rudimentary one, and nobody had heard about it yet, you know. So, by necessity, mine was a tube radio. My first tube radio was a regenerative receiver using a 1T4, a single 1T4 battery tube. Used 45 volts on a plate, and a D battery for the filament, which didn't last too long, maybe about 2 hours. That was my first radio. Second one was a AC-operated radio, which had a crazy complement of tubes. If I remember, I used a 12SK7, a 12SQ7, and a 117P7, of all things. It was silly because I could have used a 50L6 and a 35Z5, and I was feeding the 12SK and 12SQ with a series resistor for the filaments. You know, this is the ridiculous thing a kid does when he doesn't know anything. Doesn't know what the hell he's doing. But that radio just about worked. It was just terrible. Full of hum, poor selectivity. It was awful because I sort of took it on myself to design the thing myself. I thought I was being smart, you know. Anyway, as far as the net, yeah, I didn't put the net to bed yet, and I don't know if anybody's listening anymore, but if someone would come back from the net, we're still open for a last-minute comment. Maybe Jimmy, it's possible, is still there. I know he didn't respond before. So let's wait a little while to see if KC2 or DHU comes back. WA2SHA, net control.
Hi, Norman, I'm checking out. K2QDN clear.
Come out to one, but I'm on the noisy radio. Start to say 7-3. Nice, good working show tonight. Very good meeting, very good catch. So I'm staying touch on WA2QDE clear.
Hey, Bob, we got you on a 73. I thought we had you a little bit earlier, but thanks for sticking in there. and listening. So I'm going to close the net down now. It's been one of the longest nets we've had, to tell you the truth, because I'm looking at about, we got about an hour and 40 minutes. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Let's see. Yeah. Can't believe it. But that's what happens when you start talking about interesting things we all can recall. So, with that, the Metroplex net is now closed, and we're returning the station to normal amateur use. WA2SHA will be clear. 73, everyone. Thanks for showing up.